Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today we have
Jimmy,
Gavin,
Dabe,
and Josh. And I guess Gavin and Dabe wanted to do a little podcast about streetwear.
Did we?
I guess.
Is that what we did?
You pitched it.
I mean,
you
no,
said
I...
we could do like a whole hour on streetwear.
Who did say that?
I think we did say that. Yeah. Why is Jimmy here then?
You know, for a different opinion aside from mine. So, what,
like
what defines streetwear from casual wear and other wear?
Josh.
Underwear.
Streetwear is classified usually by the interests and the styles that follow that interest. Predominantly in streetwear, you see fashion influenced by skateboarding and hip-hop and a few activities between there, basketball as well, and kind of it's a combination of all those things, and it's not necessarily formal, but it can be formal. It's more for the streets,
mm-hmm.
and not the band.
And I think it's a lot more youthful.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you have to be a youth to rock it.
Of course.
Because the proper attire on anyone looks correct. And I think seeing someone in their 50s in streetwear is actually cool, and it makes them... Nah, I've seen some pictures where you're like, that guy's flexing hard.
Hmm.
Like...
That seems creepy.
Nah.
I guess it depends on the streetwear.
Yeah.
He's wearing, you know, skater wear. I don't know.
Well, I mean, unless he's you already have a negative connotation because you said skater wear with a sneer.
But also,
well, no, for an old guy,
skate wear and street wear are
look
two
silly.
Entirely different things.
Truth.
Well, they're
it's shared
they cross paths though. Especially
the kind, you can't skate in street wear. Not like in some fucking drop crotch with a.
I don't consider
people do it all the time.
I don't consider that fully street wear, but yeah, I mean, there are certain styles of skateboard influenced streetwear that are made for skateboarding. Sure. And then there are certain styles that's like you can't skate in.
But if you look at like, if you go to Vans.
Yeah.
Or like.
But Vans is considered
like
streetwear.
Evo. Well, yeah, but I'm saying like the stuff that they sell there is not the same as the stuff that you're going to see.
True,
at, like,
but there are crossovers.
Yeah.
Like Zoo York. That's streetwear, right?
Sure. Are you wearing Zoo York right now? Okay.
No.
Your shirt looked similar to their logo.
I think like some of the skate stuff becomes more functional at least.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that you probably start getting into streetwear because you are into one of these subcultures and you realize that there's kind of an overarching influence to your style that you're dressing because of the main one that you're into. Because I think Gavin and I both started as skater kids,
mm-hmm.
that were just like dressing like other skateboarders just out of utility, because it's like, well, I'm wearing skate shoes at all times because I'm probably going to be on a skateboard at some point today,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just for 5 minutes. So for a very, very long time, like 8 years or so, I had nothing but skate shoes because I was skateboarding a whole lot. And I bought my first pair of non-skate shoes that are not like a utility, like boot or like snowboarding, stuff like that. This year was the first. Like
I don't
in
feel like
years,
I see you wear skate shoes anymore.
Not really anymore, because I only have like one pair that I'd like to. I guess I have two pairs that I like regularly now.
What was the like transitioning point for you? Like where were you like, you know what?
I had a transition semi recently of like wanting to upgrade my situation.
His look.
Yeah, I realized that there was a look that I wanted to go for because I just was kind of in a gray cloud of skater question mark.
Mm.
And I wanted to see where I could push things, because right now there's like current trend is longer fitting clothes, I would say, in the streetwear situation. So being a tall man, I was tired of lifting my arms in exclamation and showing my mandriff. So the idea of longer mm-hmm. clothing really appealed to me.
Makes
so
sense.
I think that's kind of what started, was I was like, I bought my first high quality t-shirt.
Yeah, you kind of there. You kind of have those like tunic style t-shirts.
Yeah, I got
now
like the
wear.
Longer ones that are
tall
like
tees?
Curved hem or split hem, depending on like. Mm-hmm. That's kind of more or less all about layering. But I remember I bought my first one in Portland like earlier this year, and the quality of it is spectacular. Now it's like harder for me to wear standard tees anymore, but also just the fit is a lot more comfortable and the length is great. So that's kind of what got me into it. Into exploring more than just
skatery
stuff.
You didn't want to show off your belly.
Yeah, I'm trying not to at all times, really.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, you can get like a sick crop top though.
Yeah, I mean, I would if it said like bruh on it, just
a crop top that says bruh. Mm-hmm. We can make that happen.
It's currently on my wall in my office. Courtesy of Nick Trujillo.
Nick Trujillo.
Yep.
No, who also is a fashionable fellow. He posts little outfits of the day.
To our
friend Dandy Geek.
Oh, yeah.
The most fashionable fellow.
That jacket's hot.
Let's keep it as inside baseball as we can. Let's talk about things that our friends are wearing.
Before this gets too off the deep end, we will try to keep things as accessible through the audio medium as possible, and we'll try not to go too deep. But it's likely that if you don't care about clothing or fashion in any sense, then you're not going to love this podcast. Similarly, if you don't really care about the music one that we gave, because you probably didn't care about the genres we were speaking of.
Or the fantasy football ones, or the real football ones.
Oh, yeah. See, so I like the anime one, I would never listen to that.
We don't listen to this podcast.
I'm sorry, Jamie.
I'm actually a little upset. Not
Are you?
Really.
Okay.
But I am going to make you watch some anime at some point.
I mean, I will succumb to that for sure, but I will not listen
to people talking about watching anime.
Yeah, I think that sounds like the worst. But similarly, like League of Legends, like Gav would have a horrible time trying to sit in or listen to that. The League of Legends talk that we had.
Illegal Legends? That sounds like something.
Yeah. No, Eagle Legends.
Oh, Eagle Legends.
See, that sounds more like
Eagles Legends. It's actually their discography.
Yeah.
They're a good band, the Eagles.
They are.
Anyway.
Classic.
So I guess I started getting into the drapier fit type of stuff longer, and then started trying to like go through my closet and abandon certain styles of things and replace my basics. So it's like I went to some websites to find generic just all black, all white, and all gray tees with no logos on them, just for like layering, or just for like, so I had basics to always fall back on, because the secret to streetwear is kind of like one loud piece, and the loud piece is usually your shoes, and the rest are just kind of like basic colors, and you can just keep it to blacks, whites, grays, or you can go with like earthy tones and try to stay within that same theme. But because of that, you know, grabbing some higher quality basic stuff to like fit within all the other outfits is kind of the joy of waking up and being like, what am I going to wear today? Maybe we'll go with this. And then trying to figure out the layering of it is kind of what I do every morning. When previously it would be like, I'm going to grab this random t-shirt from out of here and I'm going to put on these pants.
Just like putting on a suit. You pick the t-shirt. And the jacket, and you mix them up.
It's kind of all about mixing and matching and what works and what doesn't. Yeah. And sometimes I've had like Gav help document the ones I really liked, and we'll compliment each other's fits. So that's the code word. There's going to be a lot of slang.
Yeah,
Most of it is probably stuff that we made up, though.
Yeah, like give us a rundown on streetwear slang and then Gav Dabe streetwear slang.
I don't know if we can really. Well,
it just comes naturally. Okay. We don't document these things.
So an example of streetwear slang would be, you would call something a fit, usually it would be their outfit. That would just, you know, that's essentially it.
It's so you're not saying it fits. You're saying that's a fit.
Well, you can talk about
the fit of
something is also important. The way it fits is really important. But as a noun,
like,
is someone's outfit.
Like you gotta look at that FOTD hashtag on Instagram. Yeah, that's fit of the day.
Okay.
I wonder what that was.
Yeah, I didn't know it.
Your shoes are always mostly called sneakers.
Kicks.
Or kicks.
Kicks.
You know about them.
Footies. Nobody calls them footies. Don't call them footies.
Yeah, don't call them. Okay. Maybe the Aussies, but they're probably wrong.
You guys did a lot of streetwear shopping in Australia.
Yes.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
The secret to
there.
Why streetwear shopping in Australia is great is because we went in October for PAX Australia, which is the start of their summer. So their fall and winter clothing is going on sale right
now. Like 50% off clearance type sales.
So we got some.
So it's perfect for Americans.
Yes. Because when you go back.
You get
also, your dollars
your jackets,
are worth $1.25.
Your hoodies. Yeah.
Also, there's a bunch of really good streetwear brands up down there.
Mm. I think that we could talk generally, too, just about some, like, just, like, fashion ideas. Like, how you were saying, so, like, when you got a bunch of different stuff in your closet, it's hard to kind of compose an outfit. Whereas, if you've just got, like, if you've got a good stable of basics, then you don't have to work as hard to be like, well, what pants can I wear the shirt with, or if you just don't care, you're just like, I wear whatever pants with whatever shirt. But like, it's, you know, if you know you've got like these shirts that you wear with your black pants and these shirts that you wear with your denim, stuff like that, that kind of makes it easier. And like, the thing I like about streetwear is I love loud shirts and I love loud shoes. And I always like to go by the mindset that like shoes are a statement piece and that shoes that don't match with anything match with everything, because like, you can buy some shoes that are so obnoxiously loud and just like neon colored or like bright, you know, like offsetting patterns and stuff, and they look like, what would I ever wear these with? And the truth is, you just wear them with whatever the fuck you want, because they're rad shoes, and no matter what you wear them with, somebody is going to be looking at your shoes. So the less interesting your outfit, the better, because it's about the shoes.
I prefer rocking the loud shoes with an all black. I think that's the highest contrast, and that's what I find the most appealing. So it's like, I have those, like the ones I wore yesterday that are like bright blue and like orange kind of hints on gray and black. They're like kind of translucent too. And I like those with an all black kind of situation, because then it's just like, oh, like, what are those type of situation, you know?
Canvas.
Yeah. I think it's poor to have a variety of
shoes. You are very great with matching your entire outfit to your shoes. Like, your color schemes are super
important. When I wake up in the morning, I choose what shoes I want to wear, and I build an outfit around it, because I get super pumped about shoes. Like, sometimes, no lie, I'll have pants, socks, and shoes on and still be naked from the waist up, because I'm like so pumped to get the sneakers on, and I have to put like the pants and the socks on first.
The order of operations requires the rest of it, but the shoes, like, really would have come first if possible. What I'm trying to do here is get to shoes.
But I,
you guys also have strong sock games, though.
Yeah, I like to wear like tight cuff pants on the bottom if you get to get to floss the socks. But I like, there's this brand called Stance, which is like, today's a rare day I don't have them on. I got Nike on today.
Oh yeah, floss.
Floss the
socks. Yeah, sorry, we'll try to stop and keep on.
I love socks. Even if you can't see them, I always have to have fun socks on because they're so styling. Jamie's got cool socks today.
Damn. They say, Josh, what's your sock nerd game like?
They're just socks.
Show me your socks.
I actually feel pretty good about my shoes today. They're like no-show socks.
That's how little I care about socks.
No, it's okay. No.
I only care about socks if I'm wearing like dress pants.
I'm currently wearing no-show socks because I have some sporty bottom shoes, but with some joggers, so you can see the ankle. You can see the whole accent on the shoe.
Yeah, you're showing off. You're showing a little bit of ankle there.
Truth. It's weird how fashion has gone from like baggier covering the shoe to purposely cuffing higher than the ankle.
Yeah, the like high water concept is now intentional. Yeah. It's like,
you got those joggers, like you want to be tight at the ankle because you want to see. Yeah.
Okay,
shoes.
Can we define joggers?
Joggers are a pant of, it doesn't matter the material, but it usually cuffs at the above the ankle.
Okay.
So it's
so it's not particularly like a sweat pant, but usually in that, but
these, it can these be. Are joggers, but they are like a denim type or
Here's the secret chino. About the current trend in streetwear, which is also being coined as athleisure.
Yes.
Is you can just fucking wear sweatpants whenever you goddamn want.
It's the greatest.
Want.
Yeah, you know Marlo how many pairs of sweatpants
I wear
ago.
That I wear to work?
Yeah.
Not that we have a dress code here, but like, I'm not feeling like slobbily.
Yeah, as no, I'm you, like, you look fly, but it's like, and I know that those are quality pants. It's like, but when someone says sweatpants, you can't, well, at first you can't help but think Walmart. $15 sweatpants.
I mean, my sweatpants are like the $11 ones from Target.
Yeah.
I could not wear those to work and pull them off like you guys
do.
Sure,
but my sweatpants came from a streetwear store and they're like tailored and they've actually got pockets and stuff.
So to those of you listening, we're not encouraging you to just wear sweatpants
all
the time.
Don't just wear your sweatpants, guys.
But if you're interested in trying to up your sweatpant game, I think Publish is probably the most successful brand accessible.
I will say this, streetwear is incredibly inaccessible. In that it is very expensive.
You will be mad there at how no, much they will charge you for sweatpants.
There is not inexpensive streetwear. I'd say the closest you can get is H&M.
Yeah, I think H&M.
And Zumiez.
Yeah, I think Elwood is probably the highest quality, cheaper brand. And that's a lot of the basics I picked up are from Elwood.
E-L-L?
Yes, E-L-W-O-O-D.
My suggestion.
They sell like 3-packs and stuff.
Would be to get super strong pair of shoes that you love. That's like your go-to cool shoe, and then try to like do your basic game around that. And sometimes maybe you only have one really cool outfit that you like right now, but then you like build pieces as you go. Like one thing that was really big for me, just like from a generic like wardrobe perspective, is like going into my closet and legitimately being like, what in here do I wear regularly? And what in here am I just like flipping through every day to get to the stuff that I want to wear? And a lot of times you'll find that it's just whatever's in your hamper.
Yeah.
And you've got like maybe like 10 shirts or something that you're kind of like cycling through. And if you've got a shirt in there and you're like, oh, well, you know, every once in a while I wear this. It's like, it's probably better off that you sell it and get something that you really like. You know, if you sell a couple shirts, you can make enough to grab you a new t-shirt.
Yeah.
Or donate it to, you know, a local place that makes sure it gets back to somebody who needs it. So that way, you know, you make sure that everything you have in your closet you love and you're excited about wearing. Because for me, like, clothing isn't just about like looking good. It's like, that's a very strong way to like express who you are and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that I love Johnny Cupcakes as a t-shirt brand, which got me into like more streetwear stuff, because they have like their designers, and like one of their main designer is Chris DeLorenzo, and you can follow him on Instagram. He's very talented and I like his work, and I like that when I wear their shirts, I feel like I'm wearing a piece of art. Like I'm sharing that's an interest of mine, rather than it just being like, I'm not wearing a Johnny Cupcake shirt like just because it's like this brand. I'm wearing it because I think that it's cool. Like I wear I don't wear every Johnny Cupcake shirt. I buy the ones that I think are like the best executions of their illustration ideas. Yeah.
Well, and I see regularly, I mean, at event after event after event, people are like, hey, Johnny Cupcakes, when you're wearing something with Johnny Cupcakes. It's like a community.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's definitely a crowd. Not necessarily a lifestyle, but you get respect.
It's part of that t-shirt is art type thing. And because it is, it's a small brand that has a fan base. It doesn't have a customer base. It has a fan base. And that's kind of important. Like this is a company where people who wear your clothes get your logo tattooed on themselves. Mm-hmm. Like there are tons of people out there with Johnny Cupcake logos. And that's not an uncommon thing for them. Whereas like, you know, I wear a ton of Nike. I'm a Nike tattoo and stuff. Or even like Benny Gold, which is another like not so much streetwear, but more just like
they're like SF based. Yeah, I'd call them like streetwear.
Yeah, but they
get that respect.
It's, I don't know, if I saw somebody wearing Benny Gold, I wouldn't want to like go up and like high five them. But if I see somebody else wearing a JC shirt, like I've tracked people down at PAX before because they have like, I see the little JC logo on the back of their shirt or something, or I'll catch them glimpse from the front and I'll run over and be like, hey man, I like your shirt. And
yeah, it's weird because it's a very insular style, because there are certain things that you don't know and you wouldn't even recognize as being fancy or higher quality or top tier or anything like that unless you are a fan of them. So there's like a company called BAPE that stands for A Bathing Ape. They're like a Japanese company. They've been around since the 90s, and legitimately $200 t-shirts. That's just the thing. They sell these hoodies that are like shark full zip, like shark head hoodies, $500 flat, just like standard. And they sell out every single time they release them because they're like known as being the top tier. If you ever see one in the wild, you're like, mad respect to that person. But they look kind of like the really loud hoodies that you could find at PacSun like a few years ago. You know what I mean? So it's like, obviously that stands out, but it's like, as someone who would have no idea, you would have no idea that that was such a big deal. Yeah. And it's like, I went to Snoqualmie Falls the other day, and of course now when I'm walking, I kind of look down and judges everyone's shoes, I guess.
That's all.
There was a guy who I noticed from far away that had like really nice glasses and really nice like shirt jacket combo on, and I looked down at his shoes. He was wearing Geo Baskets, which are very, very well-known silhouette because they have tongues that go like this high. They're like up to here with the tongue, and the shoe actually ends like right here.
Dave is gesturing to almost his kneecap.
Yeah, so And the laces are super long, so you actually tie them around your ankle. Like, it's a weird fit. They're made by Rick Owens. They're $1,300.
That's fucking ridiculous.
$1,300 brand new.
I would not wear those to Snoqualmie Falls.
I wouldn't wear those to Snoqualmie Falls either. And this guy's just flexing on everyone, and no one knows. And I'm past like, what the f-? Like, I legitimately was caught.
This is
but
so
no
weird
one would
to
ever
me
know.
Because it's like this status symbol thing that a very specific group of people recognize.
You understand it this way. If you saw someone with a Louis Vuitton bag, you know that's not a $50 bag.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the same as that. It's just, it's less accessible in that, like, it's not the kind of thing that you see in department stores.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, like, also if you follow, like, if you're a sneakerhead and you're following all the shoe blogs or stuff like that, you'll see somebody and you'll be like, oh, fuck, they have, like, Red Octobers on.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
To somebody else, they just see a sneaker. And to you, you're like, I know,
well,
how
I know
hard
there
you
are, like, celebrity,
those.
Like, I know you've talked about, like, oh, so-and-so is releasing a shoe that I'm really interested in or whatever. Like,
well, I mean, there's like more topical recently, like Yeezy released his own shoe line.
Well, he's had shoes before though.
Yeah, he's had shoes, but these are called like the Yeezy Boost 350s. Yeah. And they usually sell out within a few minutes and they're released like globally. And they're like a $200 shoe that is gone. And
the $200 shoe is like an affordable.
That's considered
affordable for that, because you go on eBay and they're selling them for a grand, even like crazy, 3 months after their release. So it's weird because it is a status symbol, and no, they're not worth $1,000.
Yeah.
But
that's why I just buy Nikes, you guys. Buy them when they're on sale.
Yeah. That's the thing though, is like, Gavin and I, we try to stay on that frugal side of streetwear. So it's like Nordstrom Rack is a great place. I go there and I will sift, because they have nice brands that just like keep falling down and falling down and you find 60%
off. Have you guys heard of Jack Threads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to use that when it was more of a fire sale site, but it's not anymore. And it's just kind of, they have everything at base price.
Yeah, it's gotten way more expensive and not, it's just the collection.
They do have a bunch of good streetwear brands in there.
Yeah.
But I had been browsing the app semi-recently and everything was like MSRP for the most part.
Yeah.
But I did use it back in the day to get some shoes.
Yeah, I definitely went through that same kind of realization of the stuff in my closet, and I still need to clean out my closet. But I bought a pair of shoes that I absolutely adore and I feel kick ass in. And this was like a year ago.
It's a weird confidence thing though.
And
too,
like
right?
Once you get that, like once you get the thing that you like, I told myself like I should not ever buy shoes again unless they make me feel at least this great.
Yeah.
And then I'm not spending money on like, oh, these shoes are okay and they're like 40% off or something. I'm still spending my dollars on something that ultimately is not gonna make me feel rad as fuck. Why do that?
Yeah.
So on one hand, $1,000 for shoes, not so much. But if it's stuff that you're gonna wear all the time, if it's gonna make you feel really good, if it's gonna be quality,
I'd rather spend $100
on
one pair of shoes I love.
Invest,
than like get $30 pairs of shoes that you're like, or maybe they don't last as long or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of that is just like the ability to make those choices. Like I'm a person who just collects shoes and then has to eventually retire some when I realize that I have like too many in my closet. But I like to have just like, I've got like a blue shoe and a black shoe and a red shoe and then like some super loud shit that has every color in it, so it matches with everything. And I also like trying to find like when you get that really rad pair of shoes and then looking at my closet and being like, okay, what do I wear with these shoes?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's the new outfits that they release. It's like right now on my wish list of shoe colors, I needed something green. It's like, that's the last piece right now. It's like, I don't have anything like really green at all. I have my black, white, kind of like a medium gray, and then like a super loud. And I think then a boot, right? Because Seattle. So, while I have more than five pairs of shoes, those are kind of the main ones on rotation. And so it's like maybe now green. So it's now I'm just looking for deals or new drops.
A friend of mine bought me a pair of green kind of like combat army boot style boots that are like mid-calf. And all of my boots are knee-high and really easy to wear. And I have no idea how to wear them. And I need to bring them in so you guys can show me how to wear these boots because they're kick-ass. And I put them on and I'm like, these look ridiculous and I have no idea how to actually style them because if I put them over my jeans, they look forced. Like they look too strung,
what if you cuff to the top?
I think I might need like a cuff or something.
Cuff to the top, get some stacks going.
What do you guys do when you have like a piece that you know is rad, but it's not working the way you want it to? Do you like look for inspiration? Do you just keep mixing it up?
There are ridiculous amounts of inspiration albums online within like, I think Reddit streetwear is probably a good place to go to because there's a what did you wear today post every 2 days and like just going through that being like, oh, okay, I see how he wore those Vans, but he cuffed the ankle and like now he's showing more of the high top part and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I go through when I'm find a piece. If it doesn't fit right, if it's like a high quality streetwear place, there's an online site called Grailed that will sell pieces just like that. And it's all enthusiasts. So you'll probably make as much as you paid, and more if it's like a retired piece. But otherwise, if you have to let it go to the, donation bins, that's just, or give it to a friend, hand me down situation.
Trades, that's,
yeah. I guess it depends really how dire the situation is.
I've passed down a lot of clothes, like, and when you're passing off like really expensive stuff to friends too, like, you know, I gave a bunch of clothes to a friend and then they took me shopping.
Oh yeah.
And they bought me some stuff. Whereas like they knew that the stuff I was giving them was, you know, of value. And so that's kind of nice too, when you've got that, you got like friends that are in similar sizes to you or stuff, or my girlfriend wears the same shoe size as me, so I can give her all my old sneakers and stuff, because like my old sneakers are not like all ratty and torn up. They're just like sneakers that I have an unreasonable number of now.
They've been phased out.
You were talking about like being able to spot stuff on the street, and one of the other things that like Dave and I are trying to get into but like can't afford yet is to get some custom tailored raw denim jeans. And
so really quick,
that's an entirely different subculture.
Oh, totally. Within what I'm going to launch into is within streetwear, there's so many different subcultures. There's like the raw denim subculture, the sneakerhead subculture, like there's like the high fashion within streetwear game that's like $800 pieces to start,
you're
stuff like that.
Stupid stuff that's too expensive for humans. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The goth ninja style.
I refuse to acknowledge that. That's not a style.
It's a Japanese influence, really drapey, kind of all black stuff.
Joking.
It's been called goth. Yeah, the tunics are like kind of a start to get there, but like Y3 is like a go-to brand for that.
Yeah,
kind of
Y3 is intense.
You have a Y3 wallet, right?
Yeah, and I've got some Y3 sneakers.
But like normal Y3 shoes when they come out, and you never buy them when they come out because they're $400 like base MSRP for the most of them. Mm-hmm. Half price even at 200 is still like a little rough.
Yeah.
So there are so many different subcultures, but raw denim's certainly one of them that we want to go with, because that's kind of the next a tier of a basic, right? Is wearing denim, raw denim that will conform to your body. And you create all the marks of the fades and everything. You don't wash them for years and just let all that naturalness set in that you created.
Yeah. So what is the step before raw denim? Like if you're trying to do street
jeans
fashion,
that actually fit you, not going to American Eagle or something like that, but going to a place that has like more designer jeans, because you'd be surprised. I thought it was some bullshit for sure when I used to wear just like regular denim, and I was like, why do I not like jeans? I feel like all these jeans just kind of fit me kind of like bleh. And then I got like a pair of designer jeans and I was like, wow, these fit me differently. It wasn't just like a marked up version of the same pant I was buying somewhere else. And so now I will invest in some jeans, but I have less. I have, you know, like two pairs of jeans now instead of like five that I think are kind of mediocre. But I think that's a good place to start. And like you get a light jean, you get a dark jean. Cause like if you've got a nice dark denim, like you can dress that up and dress that down really easily.
Mm-hmm. I think having a solid black pant to go to as well, whether it be like a chino material or denim, is really smart. Because I think they go with almost everything. But then again, sort of just like a darker pair of blue denim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's interesting about raw denim is, and we've got a cool place here in Fremont.
It's actually one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where you go there, they've got the hookup with all of the Japanese manufacturers and stuff. And
Japanese raw denim's noted as like the what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's the pinnacle. But they'll fit you and they tailor them to fit. And they... But the thing about raw denim is you have the edge on the inside seam of your jeans called the selvage edge. Mm-hmm. And that's like really important in raw denim. So they're always cut long so that you can cuff them and show off that edge, because other people that know about raw denim can tell by the cuff on your pants, edge, whether or not you've got just like some regular jeans on or some raw denim. And so like they start out they don't have any of that, like those wear lines and stuff like that 100% you see that they like bake into jeans now.
Indigo, 100%. Yeah,
they're stiffer than you would expect out of normal jeans and stuff like that. But then as you wear them, every bend and every crease and every move that you make makes all those marks in jeans that you just buy off the shelf and it's got all those marks in them. But those marks only come through once you wash them. So it's super important that you don't wash them. Otherwise it defeats the purpose. And this is the same if you have like some waxed jeans or stuff like that. But so you wear them for like at least a year before you wash them. And I don't wash jeans in general. Like I don't wash any of the designer denim I have, maybe like once a year, something like that. But you continue to wear them. And so when you finally wash them, like all of the lines and the wear on them is like completely customized to you in terms of like where you bend and where you have cuffed them and stuff like that. And so that's like the, that's always the big reveal. Like somebody who's like been like in the raw denim scene or something, like they'll post a video or a photo or something of like that first wash to see like, hey, this is my before and after. Like this is what happened when I washed them and like, look how they look now and stuff.
Reddit.com/r/raw denim.
I don't use Reddit.
Before and after.
Just like to point that out.
I'd like to say that if you want composites of photos for before and afters, not a bad spot.
Go to Reddit for Dave. Go to Instagram and search whatever hashtag raw denim.
Yeah,
Gavin.
Raw denim would be fine.
Instagram is my Reddit. But raw denim is rad. I want to go.
I remember
what is it called?
We
Blue
went
Owl?
To a shop in
Blue Owl,
Australia.
Yes.
I think that had, because you had that. There was that camo suit jacket in that shop.
It was all right. That was just a diesel shop.
Was it?
I think that was just straight up a diesel.
Because they had store. They had a line of. And I don't know if it was like true raw denim. It was like recycled denim.
I think Diesel does have a raw denim line now. A lot of the major brands have been doing it. And if you are looking for, if you're not in a place where you can get like custom raw denim, the most affordable raw denim on the market is Naked and Famous. Yeah. And I think they're based out of LA.
Yeah, they are.
But
they
you can get for like under $100, I think.
Whoa.
I think 130 is kind of their kind of like actual raw denim. I think they have not raw.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're kind of like a good starting with raw denim. Until that point, honestly, I think Levi's are just going to
get those and get them tailored.
Yeah,
what are your favorite? Like, if somebody's listening to the podcast and their closet is full of free swag T-shirts and jeans they got at Walmart.
Yeah.
What are your recs?
That's hard because I want to know what aesthetic they're into because it would be like, oh, do they like how Kanye West dresses or do they like how ASAP Mob dresses or skaters or anything like that. So that is super dependent, but I'd say basics are grab a really nice pair of Nikes that you find appealing, or that could be Nike skateboarding style or more of like a basketball, like a Jordan or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or like Vans old schools or something like that. Those are just like classic shoes that I think will always be around within streetwear. So like the skate highs are like a really good one to have, or like the old school, like whites or blacks are pretty great. What do you think as far as shoe game starting off?
I always just say get a basic pair of Nikes, like get a pair of like super solid out, like Air Max, like all one color Air Max or something, get you started. But like, I think also in terms of, I think it's hard to recommend brands because what I wear now is much different than what I would normally have access to because of, we've got a really great streetwear shop here named Bait, which carries a lot of the kind of brands that you're not going to find elsewhere. And when we were in Australia, I was also fortunate enough to go to some stores that have brands that I can't find around here. And I'm not a person to ever recommend buying clothes online. I think that the most important part for me is, even if you know, like, I'm a blank size waist, like, you're going to have to get that shit tailored. Like, if you want it to fit, like, I feel like that's the most important advice that you can give to anybody, no matter what it is they're wearing, is make sure that you're wearing the size that's right for you, because that makes all the difference. If you're wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and that t-shirt's a little bit too short, where you lift your arms up and that t-shirt comes up with you, or if you're wearing some jeans and they're a little bit too short and you get that sock showing with, you know, or they're a little too tight somewhere, like, wearing that exact same outfit but with a t-shirt where the seams of the shirt line up with your shoulders and the shirt doesn't like lift up past your belly button when you lift your arms, and like having some jeans that, you know, go right down and like rest on your shoe, like that makes all the difference. And I mean, even if you go to like I think H&M is a good one because they're kind of everywhere now. Mm-hmm. But it's inexpensive, and as a result their clothes definitely do not last as long.
No.
But H&M is a great place for that. But even honestly, like, I don't know if you've ever shopped at Kohl's, but Kohl's is good for men's clothes. I can't say as much as far as their women's stuff goes, but like, you can get the same kind of denim, like Levi's denim and stuff, you would get at like Urban Outfitters, which never shop there, for like $70. You can get at Kohl's, same exact pair for $35. Yeah.
Speaking of places to shop, this is a little bit local topical.
Sure.
But
Uniqlo.
Word on the street is Uniqlo's opening.
About Uniqlo? Oh yeah, it's open.
It's open, and from my fashion friends, that seems to be a very exciting thing. Tell me about it.
It's like Japanese
American Apparel,
but writ large. Like they have, like American Apparel is an awesome place because they've got lots of great basics. It's a good place to go to just like build out some of your stuff, like undershirts or basic sweats and stuff. And they are like that, but they have everything. Hmm. Like you can get pants and shirts and jackets and dress shirts and polos and you can still get the same kind of basics and stuff, but everything it's about on par, I'd say, with American Apparel for price. I've only shopped at ones in Australia and Japan.
I want to say that.
So I don't know if the American prices are jacked up or down from there, but like it's usually a little tiny bit less expensive in my experience than American Apparel, but their quality is better in my opinion. Their cotton's a little softer. It does fit a little different. I like the fit of some of my American Apparel shirts better. They're a little longer. But especially like if you just wear like ribbed tanks underneath your clothes sometimes, like layer for warmth or whatever, like the ribbed tanks from American Apparel will fall apart after like 6 months, whereas the Uniqlo ones that I have are still going strong. So
yeah, I have a pair of denim from there that not like anything legit. I think it was just like a skinny jean, like stretch style, yeah. But mm-hmm. I've had them since Australia and I used to wear them almost every day. And I haven't worn through any part of that, and that's pretty all right for a $30 pair of denim, which is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not bad for $30.
So
no, they're kind of crazy.
They're go-to for basics.
How
for
the
sure.
quality for price falls into line. Yeah. And like I said, I haven't been to the American one yet, and I think is there one in like New York or something too? I think there's only a couple of them.
Only a couple in the U.S.
Yeah, but because I've heard that the sizes vary, like because I'm curious to see if it fits as well as the stuff I bought like in Australia and Japan, or if it fits. If
it might fit better.
Different.
Yeah, it might fit longer because it's cut for Americans.
Yeah, it might.
Because I think on the website, they actually have like separate sizing for American or Japanese.
Yeah, I know that they do. I'm wondering which I will prefer.
They have in-store tailors though, which is the cool part. Ooh, they'll just cut you up right there.
Love it.
Pretty rad because all their jeans are like a 36 length at least. There's like they sell like a shorter and then a longer. Because you can get them tailored right there, at least hemmed.
Yeah, tailoring I think is an undervalued, like it's severely undervalued.
It
service.
Is because it seems so old school
and antiquated now.
And unless you were raised by like a family that like got you stuff tailored, which probably didn't happen because you were always growing, so you never invested in that. So I think that's where it is like since you never did that as a kid, you probably never thought about it.
Hemmed your hand-me-down jeans or something.
You just never learned about that as a good resource, but it can make a piece that, like you said, like a reasonably inexpensive piece, like something you get there, if you get it tailored for another...
Tailoring is not expensive either.
I think that's the other misconception about it is that it's
super expensive.
You sort of imagine somebody like slaving over a sewing machine and think like, oh man, that's going to cost me some bucks. It's not expensive.
Yeah. And that's why you have to think about in scale too. Like what are you having tailored, right? Like we grew up where we wore t-shirts and stuff, whereas our parents grew up and, you know, they had more types of clothes that you would have tailored. Like you don't tailor a t-shirt, but if you've got a dress shirt or you've got a dress or a pair of like slacks or jeans, like if you pay, you know, $80 for a pair of jeans, spending another $10 to get them tailored so they fit perfect.
Please get your dress shirts tailored.
Totally worth it. Yeah. And like,
yeah,
if you're not sure, like good. If you're not sure what to do about that too, it's always like, I think it's always a safe bet. If you got that dress shirt that you super like, buy it a size too large and then take it to your tailor and they can take out that extra fabric. So that you can still get that shirt and have it fit you right. If you're at the store and you're like, I'm between sizes here. This one's too tight. This one's too large. Like, buy the big one.
If you got that hashtag tall guy trubs, you need to buy like the XL or double XL to fit your sleeve length. And then you got to take it in.
Yeah,
that's just how it's had to go with certain dress
shirts. You're a lanky
shirts.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of height.
Length.
But I have the opposite problem. I'm a petite human. And so I got to remove the height
totally
from my jeans. Mm-hmm. But everybody need like no, don't walk into a store and assume that an item of clothing is going to fit you. Like this isn't just streetwear. This is just like adult clothing wear. Like you have to realize that they're trying to make it fit a median body type or a mean body type.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to make it fit your body.
The other thing that, and again, this is like this is the difference between going to like a designer store, department store, rather than like your more like mid-range places. Like I would consider mid-range, like, you know, going to like a PacSun or a Zumiez or something like that for this kind of stuff. But like, and if you go into those kind of places, you know, you don't have a relationship with the people that work there. Whereas mm-hmm. like if I go to a place like Diesel or True Religion or like Seven to get denim, like mm-hmm. when you go in there, the person that's helping you is not helping you where they're trying to make commission off of what you're selling you, because they still want to sell you something that you like. And so, you know, I'll go in there and I'll tell them what I'm looking for and they will help me find something that I like. I don't just walk in and say, oh, I want these. You know, they'll be like, okay, well, if you like these, you might also like these. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, those look too tight on you, or those look too loose. Like they'll give you good advice, and that can be super helpful if you don't feel like you're super confident in, you know, your decisions yet, or your look, or you don't have a friend to like bring with you to sort of like, you know, how
go
does this
shopping
look on
in
me?
A place where somebody's not just going to point at a stack of yeah. jeans when you ask them a question. Like, go shopping in a place where you trust, and that doesn't have to mean that they're experts, but
no,
or it doesn't have to mean that it's expensive, but they can still be staffing people who are really passionate about the product.
Yeah. Who's like making recommendations to you in a way that isn't just like, yeah, it looks great, man. You know, cause they're just trying to get you out of there. And mm-hmm. I've even had that super positive experience at American Eagle mm-hmm. before, where I've gone in there and I was in that like build a new wardrobe mode where I got like mm-hmm. a couple pairs of pants, a couple new shirts and stuff. So I was like making an investment there. But I had this one guy that was helping me grabbing different sizes and stuff. And when I'd come out of the dressing room, he'd be like, oh, I really like that one. Or, you know what, if you like those pants, we have them in this different color, you might like more. Like he was giving me like mm-hmm. the kind of help that you want, not just like a, you know, someone who's there to like take orders from you, but someone who's truly like, hey, I'm trying to help you like wear a cool outfit here.
Yeah, definitely finding a store, and you know, it's hit or miss, like it can be a different employee any day, but finding a place where you feel like if you're not feeling solid about your fashion mm-hmm. knowledge or decisions, like a lot of people who work in those places do it because they like fashion mm-hmm. and because they care. So ask for their help.
And you can always buy a fit off a mannequin. If you go into a place and you feel like totally intimidated,
yeah,
look at what they got the mannequins wearing. Look at the photos on the wall, because that is them showing you the best way that you could wear whatever it is they have in there. So if you're like, I like this shirt, but I have no idea what I would wear with this, like, what's the mannequin wearing with it? Like, copy that. Wear that shirt with that long sleeve or those pants, and then yeah. that'll help you.
That's something that I used to think of, not even as shameful, but I was like, I can't pull that off. I won't look as good as the mannequin, but I'd be fine, because that's why they put that out there. So don't be afraid, because the mannequin's there probably to show you that layering is cool and useful. Yeah. And especially if you live in Pacific Northwest, you're going to do that anyway. Yeah,
you need it.
And
you need yeah. them layers.
Like, everything is not going to look the same on everybody. And that like doesn't matter. Like, because it doesn't matter if you're like a size 15 or a size 6 or whatever, like colors always match different colors. Like, there's certain standards of layering that look good. Like, find out what you like and what works for you. And it's like, doesn't matter if it's not how you picture yourself in it or what you think the mannequin is supposed to look like. Like, that stuff is universal.
Hope you guys feel inspired.
Wear cool shit. It'll make you feel good.
Wear shit that makes you feel good.
It'll make you feel confident. And once you get into it, it just, you kind of realize that there's so many places you can go with it. Or if you're comfortable where you're at, just stay there. That'd be great.
Something like a last thing, because I'm in a room with two designers. They are very creative humans. I am not somebody that can like sketch something or draw something. So being able to pick an outfit that reflects my creative mood or like is an outlet for creativity is a really cool, like, maybe you can't draw or sing or do something as creative. Like, maybe you're like me, but you can pick a really fucking rad pair of shoes and put an outfit together with it and make that your outlet of creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about it, is being able to be like, you know what, I'm feeling some plaid today. What, you know, what's going to play up some plaid? And like, there's just a lot you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I like too, which I tell people the same thing with tattoos, like if you're trying to get a tattoo in your town and you see somebody working somewhere with a tattoo you like, ask them where they got it. Mm-hmm. They will be more than happy to tell you, because people love talking about their tattoos. Like, it's usually something that people are into, like sharing their artist. And same with, like, I've been on the street before waiting for the crosswalk light and see somebody standing next to me that has like a super awesome jacket on or just like really rad boots or something, I'll be like, hey, I really like your boots. Where did you get them? Because, you know,
when you're on the receiving end of that,
It feels so good.
Rad.
It feels so great to have somebody comment on something that you're like, you know what? I put this together this morning. I chose this outfit because I wanted to feel good and look good. And if somebody goes like, hey, I really like your shoes, you're like, thank you so much. Like, it's a great way to pay someone a compliment. It's also a great way to get information if you're like, I wish that I had cool,
I wish I looked like
they had or whatever.
Ask how they got their look.
Yeah.
All right. If you guys have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.